If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14. John 14, I would ask for forgiveness for having a weak voice this morning. Lost a yelling match with Beth last night, so here I am. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. God, thank you for your grace and your salvation that we just sang about, the goodness and kindness that is so evident and shown to us through Jesus primarily, but also through all the good things that you have given us, the blessings in life that we have. Father, as we look at this morning and talking about prayer, would you just bring comfort where comfort's needed? Would you bring conviction where conviction is needed? We just ask that you would open our hearts and eyes to this text, to better understand prayer, to better understand our role and your role and what how it all fits together, God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a recent Lifeway research polled people who identified as Christians that pray. Lifeway is a Christian organization that is involved in a number of things, Bible study curriculums, research. And they're a reputable research firm that does a lot of surveying of America as well as the globe on kind of religious trends and statistics. And so in this poll, they asked people who would say, I'm a Christian and I pray, right? Those are the two things regarding, they were asking their prayer life. And this report showed that of professing Christians who would admit to praying, 74% only pray for their personal needs and personal difficulties. So 3 out of every 4 prayers offered up in our country are focused on self, with the subject and topic being personal wants, personal desires, and potentially in the context of facing difficulty. Maybe to bring this a little closer to us, I'll just ask this. Think about the last few days for yourself. With that in mind, as you think of the past few days, specifically in the context of your prayer life, if God were to answer every single prayer request that you prayed in the last couple days in the ways that you wanted him to answer, so you were given free pass, whatever you asked for, you had it, what would change? What would have changed? Your life? Your comfort level, your safety and security, your bank account? Would God's kingdom have changed? Would our church be different? Would our community be different? Would there be sinners saved, hurts healed, needs met, lives transformed? See, prayer is a gift from God to us. And like all gifts, there's aspects to it that we need to understand. And so I want us to understand 3 aspects and see 3 aspects of prayer today. First, the power of prayer. Second, the conditions of prayer. And then third, the purpose of prayer. So the power of prayer, the conditions of prayer, and the purpose of prayer. First, the power of prayer. Look with me. John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So a couple things communicate power here. First, there is a promise for believers that our works, our deeds, will be greater than Jesus's. There's a lot of context for that statement that we need to look at. Jesus makes this amazing, incredible statement within the context of also saying that these greater works are in line with Jesus's works and his purpose. So he says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. That's the context for that promise. The promise of greater works is grounded in Jesus' works and his purpose, which we all know his purpose was to come and to die and to bring about salvation for his people. That's the context of this statement. So our works are in the context of salvation, which points to the reality that during the age of the church, many more converts have been and will continue to be gathered into the family of God, more so than who were drawn during Jesus' ministry on earth. And it's not just a statement of raw numbers, but also the fact that we now have the power of the resurrection, which had not occurred yet at the time of Jesus saying these words, saying these things. So the greater works are grounded in Jesus' work, salvation, and are a product of our prayer, which again points to just the sheer responsibility and power of prayer. So we couple this with Jesus saying in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Now, I think it's easy for a church like ours with its Baptist roots and traditions to be quick in wanting to just go to the qualifiers of this statement. I know for me there's a temptation to immediately go and say, well, it doesn't mean this, and let's start looking at the context and the conditions, but we'll get there. But before we do, we just need to sit with what Jesus is saying. That there is power that is offered in this statement, along with the reality that not just this statement, but there is so much scripture that communicates the same idea as well. James 1 says that God gives generously without reproach. Ephesians 3 says God will do far more and abundantly than you could ever ask or imagine. And James 4, somewhere around there, says that the reason you do not have is because you don't ask. And so those verses, along with what Jesus is saying here, communicates a truth that we typically are just kind of uncomfortable with at times as well. But there is a reality and truth to the power of prayer, and that our petitions to God can actually bring about change. Our requests made to God can actually move Him in a certain direction. I mean, you look at the account. Oh man, I'm blanking. I think it was Pharaoh. No, I'm sorry. It was where he's like, hey, if there's like 50 noble people in this city, would you spare it? And God's like, okay. And then God comes like, well, I can't find 50. And then he's like, well, what about like if there's 10? God's like, okay, I'll check. Yeah, I'll go with 10. Right? There is power in the ability of a believer to petition God and ask him, and he moves.
Praise God.
Yeah. So let's sit with that, especially as, you know, kind of more on the conservative Baptistic traditions of our church, we need to realize the power of prayer. And if you put this into context of what we've covered in the book of John thus far, and the rest of chapter 14, which we'll get through in the coming weeks, it's really staggering and amazing to think about. Jesus is saying, right, I am leaving you. We covered that a couple weeks ago. I am leaving you. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to sit at the right hand of God. And I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about in a couple weeks here. Which will enable you, through the power of the resurrection, to do greater deeds than I have ever done. And then Jesus turns and says, therefore, whatever you ask in my name, I will give to you. Jesus is saying, I'm going to heaven. When I get there, your prayers will be the way my kingdom power is released into history. My power will be released into the world through your prayers and through you. That's just incredible to think about. The power that is at our fingertips if we would just access it. The responsibility that you have been given through and in Christ is just amazing. Prayer is powerful because prayer brings about the power of God into this world through our petitions and through our actions and our deeds, and it actually has the power to change things and change people. So we sat with that for a while. Now we do need to see that this is not a genie in the lamp kind of thing. The power of prayer is bound by its context and its purpose and the conditions that Jesus communicates even in this sentence. So let's move to the second point. The conditions of prayer. Read with me again, verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So Jesus doesn't just say, whatever you ask, I will do. No, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. So prayer, and specifically how it is answered, doesn't depend solely on just asking. It depends on asking and asking in the name of Jesus. But what does that mean? What does it mean to ask in the name of someone? Well, there's two aspects of this. The first is how you represent them. To come in someone else's name means you're not coming in your name. You're representing another person, and you are representing, therefore, that other person's wishes, desires, and wants completely. Right? So if you think of a lawyer, if you're a lawyer, you're not a lawyer, but if you think of a lawyer that represents clients, that lawyer has to go and communicate and petition and push for what that client wants. So as a lawyer, you would say, I'm here in the name of so-and-so, and so what I want or don't want doesn't matter in this negotiation. What the person who I am representing, the person whose name I am coming in, what they want and what they desire, that's what I'm here for. So to pray in the name of Jesus is to pray according to his wishes, his desires, his wants, his will. You pray in accordance with what Jesus wants. But there's also a beautiful gift. This is the second aspect of this. For those of us who are representatives of Jesus, for those of us who would come in someone else's name. Because how you're viewed as a representative is important. So if you think about dignitaries, representatives who come in the name of a king or a queen or a president, those dignitaries, those representatives, they are typically treated just as those who they are coming in the name of would be treated. Treated as royalty, treated with honor and revere and respect, and you roll out the red carpet, treated just as the person whose name they are coming in, regardless of who that actual person is. So, like, I may not like you at all, but if you come in the name of a king or a queen or a president, I'm going to treat you like I would treat that person because of how much I respect that person and how much that office is demanded for the name that you're coming in. It's not just dignitaries. This idea permeates our societies and our laws. For example, if you attack a policeman or a city official, in most areas, the penalty is worse than if you were to attack some random person. Right? Assault on a random person is just a misdemeanor. While that same exact assault on a police officer or city official is actually a felony. Why is that? Is it because that policeman or that city official is just a more wonderful human being, worth more, has more value? No. It's because that policeman, that city official comes in the name of the municipality, in the name of the city, and an attack on that individual, that policeman, that city official is an attack on the city. It's an attack on all of us. And so there is a oneness with this idea of being a representative, of coming in the name of somebody. And so when you go to the Father, and you pray in the name of Jesus, yes, you are declaring, I want what you want, Jesus. I want your will and desire, Jesus. But you are received by God in the way in which He would receive Jesus, because you are coming as a representative of Him. You are coming in His name. So He hears you as He would hear Jesus. God the Father treats you as He treats Jesus. It's the reason why the door to God is always and forever open to you if you are a Christian. Day or night, at any moment, it's why the Lord of the universe, the omnipotent creator of all things, can say, just come to me. Come and ask. And so Jesus' name is the condition. Number three, the purpose of prayer. If you were to use something outside of its purpose, I don't think many of us would be very shocked that it didn't work the way we had wanted it to work, right? If you have a space heater that's designed to give heat to your house or to a room, but instead of using it to heat your room, you tried to cook food on it, it's not going to go well. And then we ought not have the audacity to say, what a terrible space heater. This thing, I'm returning it. Right? You can't complain because you're using it outside of its purpose. And so often we use prayer outside of its purpose. If we're honest with ourselves, we would admit that we live mostly self-obsessed lives. I do. I mostly think about myself and how the world affects me. I process the world through the lens of how people, events, and experience make me feel. Every interaction that I have, I think to myself, how did I feel about that? And then how did they think of me as a result? And it's just all about me. And so most of us pray in accordance with the statistics that I shared in the introduction. Our prayers tend to be self-interested prayers, self-focused prayers, all about me prayers. And yet, prayer is not about us. It's about God. The purpose of prayer is to glorify God. Jesus makes that clear in verse 13. It says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, here it is, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Our prayers ought to have the glory of God in mind and as its goal. So, if you've been with us at all during the book of John, you know we've talked about glory and glorifying God quite a lot. And just as a reminder, glorifying God simply means that we make much of God, that we speak, think, and act in a way, in such a way that communicates God's greatness. We orient our lives around God, which then communicates to others His worthiness to be worshipped. And so praying prayers for the glory of God means that our prayers ought to be primarily asking for God to work in and through us in ways that will proclaim to others His greatness. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to satisfy our desires and wants. Rather, the purpose of prayer is to orient our hearts on God and His glory, which, if we do that, will ultimately satisfy our deepest and truest desires. I mean, you think about this principle within the context of any relationship, right? If you are only after the stuff of other people, like if you only talk to your spouse because you want dinner that night, or you only talk to a friend when you want something, if what defines your conversations with other people is you seeking your good, your protection, your wants, your desires, your will, it's all about you, we can all recognize if there's individuals who act that way towards us, we don't want anything to do with them. We know that is an unhealthy, abusive relationship because that person is all about them and only comes to me when they want to borrow my truck or fix my toilet or sorry guys, because there's so many of you that I do that with. Just, here's my formal apology. A proper relationship, especially from a Christian perspective, seeks the good and wants of the other person. We seek to serve and honor and promote the other person. And so, just like in a human relationship, our conversations ought not to be dominated by, well, I want this, and I really need this, and I really need this situation to work out, and I just hope that this thing kind of happens in the way in which I want it to happen. And it's the exact same thing with God and prayer. The purpose of prayer is not about us and what we want. Rather, it's to orient your heart on the things of God, which is to know Him, to please Him, to promote Him and His glory, and to serve Him. And, you know, full disclosure, you know, when you pray, you still may ask for things pertaining to individual needs. That's okay. But the heart and intent behind our asking is incredibly different when our perspective of what prayer is, not about me, but about God, changes. So that desire for a certain job that you have is now in the context, well, God, only if it's your will and only if it will bring you the greatest glory do I want that job. That prayer for God to provide now in monetary ways, potentially, or certain other ways of provision, is now in the context of only wanting that if it brings God the greatest glory. And so Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you all these things so that the Father may be glorified. All of prayer, everything I do, God is saying, is so that the Father may be glorified. That's the overarching purpose of prayer. Verse 14. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. So with that statement of verse 14, in the context of what Jesus said in verse 13, he says again here, whatever you ask, I will do it. In a sense, all of what we covered is God's way of kind of just putting a safety lock on prayer. Right? There is power. But it must be within the bounds of God's will, His name, and His glory. And that is a good, good thing. Right? Just think about little kids for a second and how they ask for stuff constantly. And good parents are always saying no. Right? No. You cannot eat that rock. No. You cannot do that to your sister. Right? I mean, even for yourselves, think about to when you were a kid or just a teenager or a young adult. Think of the things that you would have assuredly wished and asked for and prayed for when you were a teenager or a young adult. The things that you wanted and felt that you needed the most 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. Aren't you glad that probably a lot of those things didn't happen? I can't remember who said it, but I love the quote. God always gives you what you would have asked for if you knew every single thing He knew. God always gives you what you would have asked for if you knew every single thing He knows. In other words, He's saying, I can't remember who quoted it, that if you had the wisdom of God, God answers your prayers through His wisdom. And if you had the wisdom of God, you would pray the prayers in which would be answered in the things that God is doing in your life. So what do we do with all this? First of all, as you think about how you personally pray and some of the adjustments that you need to make, I haven't said this in a while, but it's a bell I kind of always ring. Start where you are and take the next step. Right? Start where you are and take the next step. So for those of you who don't pray, maybe you're the 26% of that Lifeway poll. Prayer is just not a thing in your life. Just begin praying. A little bit. Just carve out time every single day. Start small, couple minutes, and just pray. to start. And as you begin praying, and as coupled with, for those of you who would identify as people who pray, instead of going straight to your perceived needs and wants, think first about what God did for you. Right? We've shared this as a church before, that Acts kind of model of praying, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, working through those four letters that spell out Acts, where you spend time in prayer adoring God. You spend time in prayer confessing your sin before God, and you spend time in prayer giving thanks to God for all the things that He's done for you. And then once you kind of move through those things, you then kind of get to the supplication, the asking part, right? Where you, after the fact that you thought about that it was not beneath God to forgive someone for dishonoring Him, and thinking about the fact that you're the one He forgave for dishonoring Him, reflecting on God's greatness and goodness and power. And then as you do that, God will begin to reorient the way you think about your supplication portion. God will begin to reorient the way you think about your issues and your problems and your wants and your desires. So if you start with adoration, with giving Him glory and just speaking of how amazing He is, you will end up praying with much more wisdom and power and confidence, and it will change you, your prayer life, and the way God works through you. The purpose of prayer is not to get God to see things your way. The purpose of prayer is for you to see things God's way. And I would just throw this out for all of us as just a caution, that this isn't going to happen in one sitting. The change and the reorientation in our hearts is not going to happen overnight. This will need to be a disciplined practice over time, again and again. You need to, as Paul says, labor in prayer. Like, it's hard work, it's effort, it's begrudging at times. It will be hard and it will be a struggle. But as a great man once said, everything you want is on the other side of hard. And you're not going to find greatness on a beach, you're going to find it in a struggle. Lastly, I just want to say to those of you who may have deep pain and hurt from prayers that went unanswered or weren't answered the way you wanted them to be answered or weren't the outcomes that you had desired, and maybe you're shattered by that. Maybe you're so broken and hurt by that. I just want to remind you that you have a Father that sympathizes and has deep empathy with you. That God knows, and God Himself knows the shattering experience of no. Because God came to the earth in Jesus Christ. And Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And He saw the wrath of God before Him that He was going to have to drink and take upon Himself. And Jesus knew that He was going to suffer greatly, not only physically, but emotionally and spiritually, the penalty of sin for the human race, all because of our sin. And Jesus was in the garden praying and pleading with God, "Father, take this away from me. I don't want to do it. I can't bear it." And God said no. God said no to Jesus so He could say yes to you. And if you are a Christian, you have His name on you. And He is ready to talk with you. And He is ready to give you the desires of your heart as you seek His will and His glory. He is your Heavenly Father, and He wants us to go to Him. So go to Him in prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for this incredibly powerful gift of prayer that You have given Your people. A power that can change lives. A power that can transform things. A power that moves the intent of God at times in ways that I don't even understand. But I know your word and how it declares that we are called to ask and plead, and that you, in some way, in negotiation with your will give us the desires of our heart. And so, Father, make us a praying people. Give us your heart. Move us little by little, more each and every day, away from ourselves, away from selfish prayers, away from self-oriented prayers, away from just thinking about us, to praying prayers that are focused on the glory of God and the good of others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.